Messiah's Branch Podcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the foothills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is September 10th, 2015. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. And folks, before we go any further with this program, today is September 10th, and tomorrow is September 11th, and, you know, I think, I'm going to say a prayer real quickly. There's no such thing as a quick prayer, but I want to pray for all for the survivors of 9/11, both of them. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I reach out tonight for you to intercede with the lives of the ones that are still grieving for the victims of the first 9/11 and then for the second one at Benghazi, Father. I'd ask that you bless them and lift them in spirit, Father, and just be with them. And be with this nation as a whole, Father. I pray that you would bring us back to repentance. I feel that the first 9/11, Father, was indeed a warning to us, a harbinger of what was to come. Then we had the economy crash the next year. And so, Father, I don't know what's coming, but it doesn't look good for this nation. So, Father, I just lift up all the God-fearing people in this country, and I weep and cry for what is coming upon this world and the United States. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, bless this program tonight. So, folks, anyway, if you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The drill is, the phone number is 620-878-4682, and the emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. If you want to mail me a letter and have me anoint it with oil and pray for it at the Mission Church, then send me a letter with your return address, no money involved, and we'll anoint it with oil and pray over it and send it back to you. You can also do that with an email. If you send me an email and say, attention, prayer request in the subject line, then I will do the same thing with that. And you can include your phone number in either one if you need a call back from me. So it's just another way that we can help you, that we're trying to be here for you. Anyway, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our minister radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. I guess you could put the WW thing in front of it, but let me tell you what, you should, if you Google prophecyhour.com, I imagine you're going to come up with thousands of pages that will say it. Anyway, prayer, we only have one prayer, but we're going to say this prayer, bless the program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine, and please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest is Pastor Carl Gallup. I bet most of you out there don't even know who he is, right? No, he's been on here a lot. He is a best-selling author, senior pastor since 1987, talk radio host, heard nationally and internationally, TV and radio guest host. He's a commentator, former director of Florida law enforcement officer, founder of PNN or P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network, and a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl's written several books, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Story of Yitzhar Kaduri and His Prophecies of the End Time, The Magic Man in the Sky, Effectively Defending the Christian Faith, Final Warning. His newest book, we talked about the last time he was on, is called Be Thou Prepared, Equipping the Church for the Persecution in Times of Trouble. Well, tonight, Carl addresses really where we are headed with the gay agenda, and so let's just welcome Carl on and see what he's got to say this evening. Are you there with me, Carl?
Hey, Pastor Dan, I'm here. Thank you for having me back. God bless you.
Well, I love having you on, and you always have, well, so much to say, Carl. You never run out of things to say. In fact, well, we won't go into that. But anyway, it's always a blessing, my brother. It's always a blessing. There's quite a little bit with this. I'm curious what direction you're going to go, but my hat goes off to the woman who spent 6 days in jail for her faith. But I just got to wonder, you know, who and what is next?
Yeah. Well, brother, listen, there's so much I can say about this. Let me just start slowly here. You and I, long before SCOTUS issued their ruling, we talked about the radical gay agenda on previous programs and where it might be headed. And I have said on many radio programs and television programs that I've done, and from my pulpit and from other pulpits for years now, that this day was coming and these kinds of things were coming. And, you know, and then when the Supreme Court of the United States, and of course the acronym is SCOTUS, so when I use that phrase, your listeners will know I'm talking about the Supreme Court of the United States, S-C-O-T-U-S, SCOTUS. When SCOTUS ruled just a few weeks back that all 50 states had to allow gay marriage, that was an illegal and unconstitutional ruling, and we're going to talk about this tonight because I've got something really profound to share with your listeners, but we talked about the fact that when that happened, that it was going to open up Pandora's box. And so what we've had happen here, Pastor Dan, is that for the first time in U.S. history, unprecedented in U.S. history, a U.S. citizen has gone to jail simply because, now I'm going to use the word simply, I know some of your listeners are screaming right now saying, no, she went to jail because she defied a federal judge's orders. But I want your listeners to hear me. She went to jail simply because she believes marriage is between a man and a woman. That and not two men and not two women. And that is unprecedented in U.S. history. That is unthinkable. That's what happens in North Korea or China or Russia or the Middle East. That's what has, she was jailed for a political correctness violation. And I'm telling your listeners, you have listeners, Pastor Dan, who work for the government, either the city or the state or the county or the federal government. You have listeners that work for government. You have listeners that teach in public school systems.
Yeah, amen.
There's coming a day soon, mark my words, people, when if you work for the government, you will be forced to sign a statement saying that you affirm gay marriage and you will not stand against gay marriage in any form or fashion. Why do I say this? Because, number one, that's the agenda, and it was just proven with Kim Davis. You see, she was targeted, brother. There were dozens of other clerks that they could have gone to who were issuing gay marriage certificates, by the way, against Kentucky law. And I'm going to address this in a moment. But she didn't. She was upholding her oath to keep Kentucky law, and Kentucky law says that you cannot issue certificates for gay weddings. And she was jailed as an example, as a warning shot across the bow. And so here is an elected state official, county, but it's in Florida, it's propped up, I mean, it's all a constitutional office. So here's an elected state government official who swore to uphold the laws of Kentucky, and she did her job and broke no laws. And I'm going to prove that tonight in just a moment. I'm going to prove for your listeners that are a little bit skittish of this and wondering how in the world I can say she broke no laws. But I have proven this on radio and TV and in print media, and I'm backed up by constitutional lawyers and constitutional experts. So I'm going to explain it. But she broke no law. She upheld the laws that she swore to uphold, and a federal judge illegally put her in jail. Now, one of the evidences that he did wrong is after 5 days, he let her out. Now, he told her when he put her there that he would never let her out. See, they didn't even give her bail. That's unconstitutional. You can't put somebody in jail with no bail, with the exception of capital offenses and egregious offenses like child rape or murder. But other than that, I mean, other than those kinds of felonious offenses, the Constitution says you have to offer bail. She wasn't even given bail, and she was ordered by the judge, you either submit to gay marriage issuing certificates, or you instruct your deputies to do it, or I'll keep you in jail until you do, with no bail. Now, brother, all of that was illegal. And he kept her there, and she said, no, I'm not going to do it. And finally, 5 days later, we all called his bluff. I'm not saying he released her because of me, but me and a lot of people like me, Franklin Graham and a whole lot of others, were on radio and TV and in the print media saying, right, this is illegal, this is un-American, this is unconstitutional, and after only 5 days, the judge caved and let her out. Now, I'm telling you, unless Congress will put their pants on and do what they're supposed to do and rein in these activist, out-of-their-mind judges, I'm telling your listeners, it's coming to you next. It's coming to pastors. It's going to come to religious organizations. Then it's going to go to government employees, and they're going to make all government employees sign a statement. And you people that are out there listening right now, school teachers, you think about this. What are you going to do? You say you're a Christian. You say you're a believer. And they come to you with a piece of paper saying, and you got to sign it, affirming the right of gay marriage. Now, are you going to compromise? You're going to spit on God's word? You're going to spit on the institution of marriage? You're going to spit in God's face? Are you going to take this mark of the beast, so to speak? You know, Pastor Dan, I'm saying to your audience, yeah, you're going to take this mark of the beast? You're going to sign, and are you going to justify it away in your mind? Say, well, you know, it's the law of the land, and I got to obey the law. Romans 12 says I got to, I mean, you know, 13 says I've got to obey the law. No, it's not the law of the land. There is no law in the United States that says you must perform, you must acknowledge a gay wedding. Now, right, may I prove that? I'm gonna stop and let you speak because you've given me so much time, but I want to sometime tonight prove to your audience that everything that has happened here is illegal, and I want to prove to your audience that there is no law stating that states have to do gay marriages. This woman went to jail illegally. So let me stop and take a breath, and sometime tonight I want to prove that, if you don't mind, brother.
Okay, I'll let you prove it. I'm not sure you don't have that much wind to talk the rest of the night. You'll have some more air time. Anyway, you put it so well, Carl. That's why I'm so glad that you came on tonight and talked. This is headed to a very horrendous place unless the Christian church, which the church actually means ecclesia, which is the called out assembly of believers. So I'm not talking to the buildings. I'm talking to the Christians out there, to the Messianics. You need to find your voice, and you need to stand up and talk. Otherwise, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And your own pastors, or some of you pastors that are listening, are going to jail. Or some of you teachers, and I said that on my earlier program, some of you Christian teachers are going to go to jail. And other government workers are going to go to jail. This is clearly their agenda. And yes, we have brought this. I know Carl's brought it up before. I brought it up before. In fact, I brought it up a few years ago when they were talking about doing some of the similar thing. We are at that point. They're also using this radical agenda to, right now there's a case that's going to be headed towards the Supreme Court that, it's a polygamy case, and guess what? They're using the same law to say that we can have as many wives as we want. So where does it stop? When the bestiality comes in, or just where does it stop? Back to you, Carl.
Yeah, thanks. No, you're absolutely right, and you see, can I begin to unpack this thing and explain to your audience why this is illegal, and then it'll go to everything you just said as well?
Absolutely. You've got my attention fully.
Okay, good deal. How long do we have before we need to take a break, brother?
We've got about 8 minutes right now.
Okay. Well, of course, just please tell me to shut up when you need to take a break if I'm not
sure. Oh, I will. Okay, I'm never above that.
I know, brother. I'm just depending on you to jump in there and cut me off. But let me unpack this. Now, folks, please hear me. Listen to everything I'm going to say, and remember that I'm not just pulling this out of my back pocket. I was a Florida law enforcement officer for 10 years. That doesn't make me an attorney or a constitutional attorney. But I have been a man of the law. I know how it works. I've read the Constitution. I understand how all of that process works. I know people are saying this is a 14th Amendment issue. I'm going to talk about that. But I also know how state law and county laws work, and I know how they all fit together under the Constitution. And I also, as I said, have been in media, printed media on this with a constitutional historical professor backing me up by name that I am right in what I'm getting ready to tell you, and a constitutional lawyer. Now, that doesn't mean that just because I've got all that and they've said that I'm 1,000% correct in this, but you'll have to be the judge of it yourself. But I want you to hear what I'm going to say because it is very legitimate, and I'm not just pulling this out of the air. Here are the facts. The Supreme Court is not a law-making body. They cannot make a law. Not constitutionally, they cannot. The legislative branch, there's the executive branch, the judicial branch, and the legislative branch. Congress is the legislative branch. They are the ones that write laws and pass laws. The executive branch then has to sign off on it or veto it. Okay, so the executive branch has a part in the lawmaking process. The judicial branch, particularly the Supreme Court, they are there to then examine the law that has been made by the lawmaking branch to make sure that it is constitutional, that it holds up to the constitutional measure. If it does, then of course they would never hear the case, but if it's somehow unconstitutional, they would rule the law unconstitutional. But this thing called judicial activism that has been rotting our country for decades is where the judges ease and slime around like snakes and come up with a way that they issue a ruling that sounds like a legitimate ruling, but what they've really done is pass a law. All right? So now, I want your audience to realize this, Pastor Dan. When the Supreme Court ruled on the gay marriage issue, they ruled on an issue. They did not rule on a law. There was no law that they were ruling upon. There was no law made. Congress has passed no law demanding that the states observe gay marriage.
Right.
The president has signed no law demanding that the states observe gay marriage. They issued a ruling, an opinion, if you will. But that does not have to be binding upon the states, and here's why. Because, as we said on a former show, 2 years ago, there was a federal law that defined what a marriage is. It was called the Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA. And it said, for the purposes of federal financial remuneration, that a definition of a marriage was between one man and one woman only. Polygamy didn't count, bigamy didn't count, homosexual marriages didn't count. If you're going to get federal benefits and claim that you're married, it has to be between a man and a woman only. Now, the legislature passed that law back in the 1990s, Brother Dan, and Bill Clinton signed it into law. And it was the law of the land for federal remuneration purposes until it went before the Supreme Court in 2013. And listen to this, Pastor Dan. The Supreme Court in 2013, the same five justices that just gave us the gay ruling a few weeks ago, 2 years ago, they said, we cannot allow DOMA to stand, Defense of Marriage Act, because the federal government can make no laws regarding the regulation of marriage. Because it's not in the Constitution, we do not have that power, we do not have that authority only rests with the states. And if we ever tried to make a law about marriage, it would be illegal and unconstitutional. Now, for your listeners hearing this, please remember, I've got constitutional experts that agree with me on this, but all you have to do is go to the Internet and Google Windsor versus U.S. and read the majority opinion, and you will see that I'm correct. That's what they said. They threw out the federal law that said marriage is a man and a woman only under the guise of, well, we can't do this. We have no authority to say what a marriage is. We can't tell the states what a marriage is. Only the states can do that, because the Constitution doesn't give us the power to discuss the mechanics of marriage. Therefore, it's relegated to the states. So, what did they do a few weeks ago? There was no law upon which they were ruling. DOMA they already threw out. The Congress hadn't passed any law. So what they were doing was they were appealing to the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, of all things. They said, well, you know, we can't keep somebody from marrying who they love. You remember that, Pastor Dan?
Right.
Yeah, they said, you know, we just, you know, everybody's equal under the law. Now, but wait a minute. That was their opinion. But that's not a law. And by the way, the 14th Amendment has nothing to do with the way in which people engage in sex. It has nothing to do with marriage. It was originally passed to give equal protection to the freed slaves. It has since been interpreted, of course, to give equal protection of all citizens under the law from state to state, you know, in contractual agreements, etc. And so, you know, if I'm married in one state, I go to another state, I'm married, etc. But that's it. But there's nothing about marriage in there. It's equal protection. But here's the thing. If we're going to say, and there are actually pastors out there who are trying to justify all of this, because they don't want to go to prison for the truth. So they're saying, well, you know, it's the 14th Amendment, and we've, you know, equal protection for everybody. But wait a minute. Equal protection for everybody? No. Are we going to give equal protection to bigamists? Are we going to give equal protection to polygamists? Are we going to give equal protection to someone who decides they want to marry a child, and the child says they want to marry their daddy or their uncle or their big brother? Are we going to give them? Are we going to give somebody equal protection that wants to marry their dog? After all, it's what they love. It's who they love. And after all, the Supreme Court said we've equal protection. I mean, you see, we can go down a deep, dark, nasty road if you're going to hold to that argument.
Very dark road.
Yeah, do we need to take a break?
Yeah, we've got about a minute. Carl, this is such a dark road. Yeah, we have about a minute, so we need to give you a website, and then you know the drill.
Well, when we come back, I will now go to Kim Davis and show how she broke no law, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, my website is carlgallops.com, carlgallops.com. My latest book is Be Thou Prepared, Equipping the Church for Persecution and Times of Trouble. And man, is this book timely.
Yeah, amen. And that's one thing I think the Western Church needs to understand about being a Christian, that part of it is persecuted. Anyway, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes with more Carl, and we'll be right back.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back. Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on.
you can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
We are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to the Science Man's Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Why do so many people come for us for help? Well, love, that's the first answer. Treating his family is second. And beyond that, well, you know, we have no set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need. And if we don't have it, we pray our way in to fill it, you know. We are there serving the people. By serving the people, we serve our Father. This is why even agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many. And, folks, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are a brother's keeper. All donations, no matter what size, helps. But the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com, or you can call me at 60-878-4682. 878-4682-620 is the prefix. And so also pray about radio airtime, because as you know, we don't sell anything on the air, and radio airtime does cost. So pray about it. And now we're back with Pastor Carl Gallups talking about a very important subject. Are you there with me, Carl?
I am here, and thank you so much for having me on today, Pastor Dan. I appreciate you letting me talk about this heavy subject.
Yeah, amen. It's a subject that we needed to hear from, well, a person just like you, Carl. In fact, we needed to hear from you specifically. So, thank proceed.
You. Would you like me? Okay. All right.
Yes.
So, let me wrap up what I was saying before we went to break, and then let me go back to Kim Davis. So, the point is, the Supreme Court, quote, ruling on gay marriage, it is not a law. I mean, they weren't ruling on any law. Okay, this is an opinion, if you will, and it's illegal because, as I said in the 2013 DOMA ruling, and go read the majority opinion. It's the same five justices, so I'm not mixing oranges and apples here. This is oranges versus oranges. The same five justices said just 2 years ago that if any branch of the federal government ever tried to tell the rest of the states what a marriage was, it would be unconstitutional and illegal. I mean, they used some very harsh words, because what they were trying to do, Dan, is they were trying to, of course, get rid of DOMA, the federal law that said a marriage is between a man and a woman only. Because
right.
They knew the gay agenda could never be passed as long as that federal law was there. So they had to say, well, you know, the federal government can't say that. It's illegal for the federal government to say that. So therefore, if the federal government ever tries to say that marriage is XXX, that's illegal. That's what they did 2 years ago. Now they come along and say, okay, well, we changed our mind. We're going to tell all 50 states what a marriage is and that a gay marriage is a marriage. And then all the states started trembling in their boots saying, oh my gosh, the Supreme Court, of course, the radical gays and the liberal media, they started trumpeting that very day. Supreme Court rules, gay marriage is law of the land. Well, wait a minute. There is no law that says that. The Supreme Court didn't rule on any law, and the Supreme Court cannot make a law, and by their own words, they can't make the states define what a marriage is. So the whole thing is a sham. It's a sham. and the states are not obligated to follow this. And states know that. A lot of states know that. And so now let's get to Kim Davis in Rowan County, Kentucky. So here we have a woman that when she ran for office, America was still partially sane. And when she ran for office, America knew that a marriage was only between a man and a woman. Now, when she ran for office, she had not too long before that had become a Bible-believing Christian and was now a strong supporter of marriage between a man and a woman. She runs for office as clerk of court, knowing that she will be issuing marriage certificates, but the law of the land was man and a woman. The law of Kentucky was man and a woman. And since the United States were dealing with this issue of gay marriage from state to state, Kentucky had already passed a law saying marriage is between a man and a woman. So that's what she ran on. That's what she was elected on. That's what she signed up for. And in the middle of her serving and taking the oath to uphold Kentucky law, the Supreme Court topsy-turvies tries to, and the media proclaims that gay marriage is now the law of the land, and the rules were changed on this woman. Well, what happened? She was targeted. See, these gays, they could have gone to a dozen other clerks in Kentucky and gotten their license, but that's not what they were interested in. They weren't really interested in getting married. They weren't interested in fairness. What they want to do, they are heterophobic. They are Christophobic. They want to use hate speech. They want to push their political correctness upon the rest of us. They targeted her. They attacked her. And there was pressure, I'm sure, put on that judge to put her in jail to, quote, make an example of her because she's a Christian. And because she's an outspoken Christian. And she said, I'm an elected government official. I am upholding Kentucky law. And I also happen to be a woman of faith, and I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, and it violates my faith, my religious freedom, my First Amendment freedom, to sign my name on a piece of paper that trashes the Word of God. So, anyways, the protest started, the protest went on, and then the next thing you know, a federal judge gets involved, and you know he was solicited to do this. You know there was pressure.
Right.
He starts threatening her. If you don't acquiesce, I'm going to put you in jail. She said, I'm not doing it. I'm not standing down. I'm not going to commit a felony in Kentucky and break Kentucky law, violate my oath, and violate the Word of God. And so the judge put her in jail, Pastor Dan. Watch this. For nothing. See, nothing but political correctness. Now, I know some of your listeners may say, now, Pastor Carl, you're wrong. He put her in jail because she violated a lawful order. No. She didn't. It was not a lawful order. It was an illegal. The federal judge was ordering her to break the law. The only law that she had is Kentucky law that says a marriage is between a man and a woman. There is no federal law that says that gay marriage is the law of the land. And if somebody's screaming at the radio now saying, well, the Supreme Court said it. No. The Supreme Court can't make law. The Constitution doesn't allow them to make law. They are not a legislative branch. They can only interpret the constitutionality of a law, and there was no law made at the federal level for them to interpret. So what they did, they went to some state laws that were prohibiting gay marriage, and they said, well, you can't do that under the 14th Amendment, the Fairness Doctrine. I mean, excuse me, the Equal Protection Clause. But the 14th Amendment, as they said in DOMA ruling in 2013, has nothing to do with marriage. Remember, in 2013, these same five justices said, nowhere in the Constitution do we have the authority to even tweak the definition of a marriage. So you can't come along 2 years later and say, oh, you know what, we found out where we can. It's in the 14th Amendment. Well, if that's true, then they shouldn't have thrown out DOMA. You see?
Right. So that's a conundrum. So that their ruling now makes DOMA legal? Is it constitutional now? Or?
Well, no, not
they
really.
Can't, I mean, it's like it's double-sided. Which one is it?
Well, but the truth is, technically, I believe they were correct in throwing out the DOMA ruling in that the federal government does doesn't have a right. And, you know, I can remember when that was ruling was thrown out, and I went on talk radio, and various hosts were asking me what I thought about it, and I said, well, I actually agree with it. And they were mad at me because, of course, they wanted, you know, this definition of marriage. And I said, but wait. Of course I believe marriage is between a man and a woman. I'm a pastor. I'm a Christian. I said, but hear me. I said, they're right. The federal government cannot define marriage, and if we say that they can, then they can turn around one day and hand us gay marriage. And I had radio hosts saying, oh, that'll never happen. That'll never happen. They'll never give us gay marriage. You know, they should have let that ruling, the DOMA ruling, stand. And I said, no, you're not hearing me. Because what they said is correct. They said the federal government has no lawful ability to define what a marriage is, and particularly to impose that definition upon the states. That's what they said in DOMA, and they were right. And what I'm telling you and your audience, Pastor Dan, is that they have broken the Constitution. By their own words, they have trashed it, and now they are trying to tell us that they have found a way to tell us what a marriage is. And not just for one state or 10 states, but for all 50 states. But I'm telling you, and constitutional experts agree with me, they're incorrect. The 14th Amendment says nothing about marriage. Nowhere in the Constitution is anything said about the definition of marriage. Equal protection, well, excuse me, homosexuals are protected. They are protected equally. They're not second-class citizens. And so there may be a homosexual listening right now saying, well, we are in the line of marriage, and that's what they're talking about. But wait a minute. Marriage has always been between a man and a woman. Just
right.
That's not equal protection.
Right.
You are protected as a citizen, even if you're homosexual. But that doesn't mean you get equal definition of whatever you want. You don't get equal definition of marriage. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's like saying, well, I'm going to marry my dog now, and that's who I love, and I'm claiming the 14th Amendment. I want equal protection. I'm a dog lover, and I want to marry my dog, and you got to protect me equally. But wait a minute. That's not what the 14th Amendment says.
Yeah. Okay, a couple of small questions.
Yes.
Number one, absolutely. One of the justices said it, I think, in fact, he said it, that we're in a very bad time because words don't mean what words mean anymore.
Exactly.
Right. Marriage means between a man and a woman, period. It always has been.
Right.
Okay, but having said that, somebody wanted to know about the 14th Amendment. What was the original intent by the people that wrote it of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution?
Yes.
In your eyes?
Yes, the original intent was to afford equal protection, especially to the slaves that were being released. Okay, after during the Reconstruction days, after the Civil War, and after the Emancipation Proclamation, and after the 13th Amendment, etc. But the 14th Amendment was to give equal protection, and not just to the slaves, but to all citizens throughout the United States. In other words, we are a United States. And so the original intent, and there are other clauses in there, in the 14th Amendment, that address different things, but the equal protection clause is what everybody who's trying to justify the Supreme Court ruling is using. They're saying, well, but the equal protection clause says everybody's equal under the law. Everybody's equally protected. So if homosexuals want to get married, now see, they're throwing a word in there that's not in the Constitution, then they need to be equally protected. Well, that's why the dissenting judges said, wait a minute, words are not meaning anything now. First of all, the word marriage is not in the Constitution. It's not in the 14th Amendment. That was not the intent of the 14th Amendment. That wasn't even in the minds of our people who ratified the 14th Amendment. And to say equal protection means that anybody that wants to can get married, that's mixing apples and oranges. Homosexuals are protected because they're citizens. We don't allow somebody to walk up to a homosexual and beat them in the head with a baseball bat just because they're a homosexual. I mean, we don't allow that. That's against the law. And it's not because they're a homosexual. It's because they're a U.S. citizen and they've had battery committed upon them. So,
Right. So
they're protected under all manner of laws. Homosexuals are under equal protection. They're citizens of the United States, but That does not mean that we have to change the definition of marriage for the entire nation to accommodate them. And how do you do that? Upon what principle do you do that? Well, you have to throw out the Word of God. You have to throw out 6,000 years of human history. You have to throw out anatomy and physiology. And so once you do that, then you say, well, what is a marriage? Well, it's whatever you want it to be. It's whoever you love. Okay, then, I've got a wife, but I'd like to have another wife in another state and another wife in another state, and I want equal protection. I want to be a bigamist. And my wives don't care, so why should the government care? I want equal protection. Well, wait a minute. I'm one man with a wife, but my wife has told me that we can have four other women in our marriage, and I can be a polygamist.
Right.
I want equal protection. And I'm going to use the 14th Amendment. These are the women that I love, and my first wife is okay with it, and we want equal protection. You see how nasty this can get?
Well, absolutely. But I do have something to say about, you know, four wives. And this is said kind of in fun. Any man that wants four wives should have their head examined.
Any woman that would do that needs her head examined.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But having said that, the door is wide open now for... everything that was in Sodom and Gomorrah is on the table. You're right. If the law is as they're trying to say it is, then anyone like these polygamists that have this show called Sister Wives, they're weeding their way up through the courts. They won in Utah, and now they're headed to, you know, the first court of appeals, you know, against the law of polygamous marriage. So it's weeding its way up there. Who knows what will be next? Somebody and their dog, or their robot, or whatever, you know. My question, though, is to Carl, though, is how long do you think that Christians are just going to not say anything? That's the point, really, I guess.
I don't know, Pastor Dan. You're saying things. I'm saying things. Franklin Graham's saying things. Many other Christians are. We've got big pulpits, big microphones. We are obligated before the Lord to use them. You're using yours. I'm using mine. You allow me to use yours. God bless you for that. And so we need to do that. Pastors need to man up in the pulpit. They need to pull their britches up and be men of God. People in the pews need to let these men preach the word, and they need to stand by these pastors. And pastors and Christians need to stand up. Kim Davis is a Christian sitting in a pew. She's also a government employee. She stood up. She went to jail 5 days. She didn't know she was going to be there 5 years or 50 years or the rest of her life.
Right.
She went to jail. She said, I am not going to acquiesce to this. First of all, a federal judge has told me to break the law, and I'm not going to do it. Secondly, he's also telling me I've got to break God's word. I'm not going to do it. She went to jail. Now this, I've also been predicting that these radical gay agenda people, pushers, that they are going to overstep. They're going to overplay their hand. And that's why people like me and you, that's why we're out here trying to expose what has happened. We're telling the truth. We're letting people see what's really going on here. And as long as we're sitting around watching our football games and drinking our Starbucks coffee every day and pretending like everything's good with the world, the radicals are going to run us over. And they're going to try to pretend like the Supreme Court just made a law. But the Supreme Court can't make laws. They didn't make a law. There is no law in America that says gay marriage has to be conducted by every state. Somebody show me that law. There is no law that says that. And if somebody's listening saying, well, you idiot, the Supreme Court just ruled. But wait a minute. The Supreme Court can't make law. And they did not rule on a law. So there is no law. And that's what Kim Davis knew. And that's what she said. I am not going to commit a felony. I am an elected official, and my state tells me I cannot perform gay marriages. I cannot sign these certificates. Besides that, I'm a Christian, and I'm not going to break God's word. I will not do it. And good for her. God bless her.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Let me say something about Kim. You know what? My understanding, she's only been a Christian, you know, a short time, like about 4 years or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is such strong faith. It really amazed me watching her talk and doing this, and they tried to get her, one of the liberal stations tried to get her for her life that was unstable before she got saved. Well, guess what? That has no effect.
That's under the blood.
Yeah, amen. Well, but, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, it's my understanding that she has had several marriages and divorces, and but she was an unbeliever and quite an active unbeliever, and it's my understanding that somewhere along there, her mother kept witnessing, and as her mother was dying, her mother said, please, I want you to go to church with me, please, and she did, and she got saved, and she got radically saved, and she's a young believer, but now I see that she's a very mature believer. She has done what most of America's pastors will not do. She has done what many people sitting in pews will not do. She has stood up for her faith in the danger of losing her job and going to jail. And she did it, and now God has vindicated her. She's out. She's free. That judge is being made to look like the fool that he is. 5 days after all of those threats about how he would never let her out, 5 days later he lets her out. Because he knows. He knows he has messed up. I'm telling you, Pastor Dan, this is a stinking legal mess, and Congress better step up to the plate, and pastors and Christians better step up to the plate, or you guys are all going to be out there forced to sign statements soon that you will affirm gay marriage, because there is no law of the land saying that you have to do gay marriages in the states. Don't let people lie to you about it. There is no law.
Yeah, absolutely. The body of Messiah has been silent too long and allowed too much political correctness into their lives, and, you know, that goes against God our Father, and it's time that we need to stand up for our faith, every one of us. And that doesn't mean just your, even if your pastor's not doing it, there's many ways that just a normal Christian can do it. In your day-to-day conversations, you know, who you associate with, you need to stand up for your faith. Because if you don't stand up for your faith, well, you know, there's going to be a calling one day, and you're going to be standing in front of the Lord. And when you didn't stand up for your faith, I don't know that Yeshua is going to be standing up for you then. Back
right.
to you, Paul.
Yeah, no, you're right. Matthew 8, I think it's in the verse 31, 32, somewhere in there. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I will be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. And God's people better standing up for the they better start standing up for the name of Jesus, for the word of God, and for the words of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, have you not read that in the beginning God made them man and woman, male and female? And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And what God has joined together, let not man put asunder.
Powerful words, Carl, powerful words. The problem is, you know, also, I just don't think that Christians, well, I don't know what the problem is. I don't understand why they don't take their Bible serious anymore. I just have to throw my hands up. I don't get it. Because it's real plain, I don't know. Back to you.
I can tell you part of it. Because my book, Be Thou Prepared, addresses it. And I go into the surveys that have been done among thousands and thousands and thousands of conservative pastors. And George Barna, the most respected religious surveyor in the world, he conducted a several-year study on this, interviewing thousands of pastors, and only the conservative pastors, across denominations, you know, Assembly of God, Baptist, Southern Baptist, Independent Baptist, Christ Missionary Alliance, all these that claim to be conservative denominations, interviewed thousands of pastors. And the question he asked them, the first question he said was, look, homosexual marriage, abortion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, these issues are in the Bible. Do you believe they're biblical issues? He said over 90% of them said, yes, we believe they are biblical issues. Of course, it disturbs me that 10% said no, but anyway, over 90% said yes. Then he said, how many of you actually preach and teach these principles to your people on any kind of basis at all? Over 90% of the conservative pastors of America said, we never, ever preach these issues from our pulpits. Then when he asked them why, the top answers were, we're afraid we will lose people, and we're afraid they'll take their money, and we're afraid we can't pay for our buildings.
Wow.
And so what has happened? For decades and decades, these conservative pastors who have these churches and buildings and property and legacies and big salaries, they will not address the, quote, controversial issues because they've got church members that don't want to hear them, and they're afraid they'll lose members and money, and if they lose money, they can't pay for their buildings, and if they can't pay for their buildings, they can't pay for their salaries, and they'll lose their, quote, jobs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what's happened. And so now we've got Christians that don't know the word or don't care, or because their pastor doesn't address it, they think it's not important, and our nation is going down the toilet of Sodom and Gomorrah right before our eyes.
Yeah, absolutely, due to the love of money. Well, Carl, it's really good for you to be on with me, and we'll do it again, I'm sure, whether it's about this subject or something else. But tell them where to find you, and then I'm going to have to say a blessing. We're going to have to get out of here.
Thank you. I know you've been very gracious to let me talk so much. God bless you. You can find everything about me at carlgallups.com, CarlGallups, carlgallups.com. Everything, my books, my ministry, my church, the videos, PNN News and Ministry Network, everything about me right there. Thousands of videos through the links you can connect to.
All right. Well, you be blessed, Carl. We'll talk again. Bye-bye.
You too, Pastor Dan. God bless you.
Folks, you must remember, pray about it. Go over and visit Carl's website. Check his website out. And really, these YouTube videos and everything's over there. Anyway, we must stand up on this issue. If you're a Christian, you have to stand for being a Christian. You must remember that there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. And you're supposed to turn away from those sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, the sign of Jonah. Through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Anybody that preaches another Yeshua than that preaches a false gospel. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Really? That's what you need to be. How can you not be if Messiah lives in you, as the Word says? Pray about supporting the Mission Church. We really do need your help. Pray about it tonight. Or you can do a check or money order, but if you can do it electronically tonight, that would be really good. And now I've got to get out of here till next week. Lord our God, Father King of the Universe, asking in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and His face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.